If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Don't look too closely at, oh man, you're going to take the 1% fee. Get somebody invested in your success that's on your same side that has that knowledge.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Tim is the co-founder and CEO of StackSource. He identified the market opportunity for a tech-enabled commercial real estate financing platform and built the company. Prior to StackSource, Tim worked for tech giants Facebook and Google, where he helped expand B2B marketplaces in ad tech. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Man, this is great. This is great. Excited for today's interview because you touch on a topic that every one of us in real estate is intimately familiar with, the need for capital. So if you can tell us how StackSource works with us as real estate investors, and I mean, just give us the down and dirty on what you guys do, how you do it. Go for it. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sam, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm Tim. I'm co-founder and CEO of StackSource. We launched in 2017. And if you've ever met somebody in the real estate industry that says, oh, I've got a finance guy, we are taking that concept of being the financing guy and we're bringing it online, allowing investors to essentially submit, hey, here's the property, here's the deal I'm working on. What sources of capital might be at play here that I can tap into? And that's called StackSource. And we saw the need to bring in transparency to available sources of capital, lenders, who's in the market for my type of property. And we started building it from the internet up. Today in late 2020, we are at 15 people in the company. We have helped close more than 100 commercial financing deals and we're growing. And I am excited to talk about the money and financing side of commercial real estate.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, so say somebody comes to you and I said, Hey, Tim, you know, I got this project. It's we'll make something up, a $30 million multifamily acquisition. Is that something you guys look at?
Oh, absolutely. Multifamily is our top asset class financed on StackSource. We also do a lot of retail, medical office, and office properties as well. And the idea is there are people you can talk to, and including StackSource's capital advisors, that can talk to you about the strategy of financing a deal, how you can get the most juice out of that deal that you're acquiring. And we take it a step further and we say, let's give you transparency into that. Give us the property address, give us the financials and your background, and let's show you, hey, here are the 14 lenders that are interested in deals like this. Here's what they can do from a recourse, non-recourse perspective, interest rates, amortization, everything that you need to know about the lending programs available. And then actually now for 2021, we're launching, for multifamily in particular, automated agency loan quotes. So you can give us a property address and some financial history, and at the click of a button, you're instantly getting, what would a Freddie Mac loan look like for this property? What would a HUD 223F loan look like for this property? So that when you're analyzing deal after deal, you can quickly say, well, here's the financing that's available. This has always existed in residential real estate because you can go on Zillow and there's a mortgage calculator on the page. Here's today's rates. But that's never existed in commercial real estate until now. That is in beta, meaning we're testing that out on the StackSource platform. And by the time your listeners are listening to this in the next coming weeks, it's actually going to be live, where you can get instant instant Freddie Mac and HUD quotes on the platform. So multifamily, $30 million acquisition, great use case.
Gotcha. Now that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I wonder, how do you guys find lenders? Like, I mean, hey, you know, you went out, you started this company. Like, how'd you guys go out and say, hey, I'm going to promote this product? Like, how'd you get lenders on board? Like, what does that look like? I mean, you're not a traditional bank. So talk to me about that a little bit. Just curious who they are.
That's right. So StackSource is not a direct lender for any product. And the idea is we're not trying to compete with our lending partners to offer some financing that is competitive with them.
Sure.
But at this point, we have over 600 lenders plugged into the StackSource platform. we have like dozens of criteria that we keep about these lenders, from their minimum maximum loan size in different locations for different asset classes. What are the underwriting metrics that they need to hit? So what lenders have a minimum 1.25% debt service coverage ratio? Who maxes out at 70 LTV versus 80 LTV? Dozens of criteria to try to actually whittle down on a deal by deal basis who are going to be the ideal matching set of lenders that are going to compete for this loan. It was not always that way. When I was launching StackSource in 2017, the team was me and two software engineers building this prototype of a platform.
Right.
We had to cold call a bunch of lenders and beg them to be on board and say, listen, this is going to be great someday. There's going to be deal flow. It's going to be efficient. And not many, in particular, not many of these big banks believed us.
Right.
Private lenders were happy to join on day one. Actually, of the first 100 loans we closed on the platform, the majority of them were closed with bank and credit union lending partners.
Really?
They learned that we knew how to vet commercial and multifamily real estate deals, describe the financing opportunity really easily, and actually they can respond quicker and quote quicker on our platform than they can to a traditional broker's package.
Right.
So most of our lending partners are banks and credit unions. And we like to say, especially to people working on certain types of assets, maybe it doesn't fit the agency Fannie Freddie box. We always are the first to know of some niche credit union that will lend to an out-of-state borrower that has the lowest rates this week. And that is the value that many of our borrowers have taken advantage of.
I gotcha. Is there a minimum deal size you guys look at?
We have closed loans as small as $200,000, and we've closed a handful of loans north of $10 million. We can finance any sort of multifamily deal. Now, if you're looking for like something so minuscule that it doesn't make sense to pay the closing fees and the commissions, then there is probably some minimum. We don't set a hard minimum. If Right. you're working on something less than $1 million, you know, we'll chat through the fees and the commissions and why you should probably have a financing expert on board. But if you have your local bank giving you a sweet deal and you could tell us about it, we'll tell you, go close with them. It Sure. won't be worth trying to get 12 more banks to compete if you've already got a sweet deal and a $500,000 loan. But a quick conversation with a capital advisor always helps, you know, seeing is it worth the time and effort.
Right, right. So if nothing else, somebody can call. And obviously, you guys are in this business to make money. I mean, I think we all are at some points. There's no reason to beat around the bush with it. If it's not worth your guys' time, and it's obviously not worth our time to interface with you on a smaller deal, then let's not waste each other's effort here. So that's really fascinating. So let me ask this. What is the submitted to closed ratio? Like how many people, like for every 1,000 deals you see, do you close 10 of them? For every 100, are you closing 10? What's that look like for you guys?
Yeah, of qualified deals. So we get a lot of leads off the web, and actually Sure. we get hundreds of financing leads off the web. And sometimes it's somebody saying, hey, I don't have any capital. Can you get me 100% financing for XYZ? And those typically never see the light of day with our Sure. lending partners. It'll get vetted by the StackSource team first. And so Sure. the majority of loans never see the light of day with lenders because it's somebody that doesn't have the experience, or they don't have an LOI out on that property. They're just trying to say, hey, well, what type of financing would be available? Right. All right, well, we're not going to do the full underwriting. We'll just talk about what are the types of financing that will be available. You need to go make sure that you have a deal and that the LOI is accepted. But deals that are qualified and sent out to market, if the acquisition doesn't fall through, if you know the borrower doesn't pull out of that deal, I would say a quarter to a third of those deals end up being closed by StackSource. And then sometimes people say, well, my local bank actually did give me the best deal, or I'm restructuring this deal a different way. And it's not the expectation at day one. And actually, our clients pay us nothing at the front end to figure out and determine. Is StackSource able to bring some interesting financing options to the table here? No problem if not, in many cases, especially if we're talking about a cash flowing property. We may ask if we're going to be working together for multiple months on a construction loan and we're going to be really deep on the underwriting and gathering data. Hey, let's partner together on this and let's make sure we're partnering together, and we can even interface with your lending relationships too. But if we're talking about a cash flowing multifamily, hey, let's get you some quotes.
Right. No, that makes sense. And that was my next question, was about construction loans. You guys also will underwrite construction loans?
Yeah. Partnering with the StackSource Capital Advisor would be key there, because a construction financing process is longer and more involved than I have a cash flowing multifamily or right. a cash flowing retail. Those things can be quoted very quickly. And that's where we're building automated quotes. That's where the StackSource platform is not just going to be faster than brokers, but it'll be instant. There's never going to be a such thing as an instant construction loan quote.
Sure.
This is going to be understanding the local market and the demand and the comps. It'll be selling the idea of that deal to the local bank. And there are, but in construction, actually a wider process in bringing in not just banks, but some debt funds that may have some higher interest rates in the high single digits, but they can give you higher leverage. They're going to have more flexible underwriting than some of these banks and some of the regulations they need to follow. Getting your deal out to market in front of all of the relevant debt funds would actually be one of the pieces of value that a good capital advisor would bring in that scenario.
Right. And so just not to get granular, but I'm curious. So someone would come to you, get that construction loan financed, and then, you know, say with a debt fund, and then later on they would refinance that out, maybe with long-term debt.
Absolutely. Many debt funds offer 2 to 3 year IO loans where they are looking at, hey, in 3 years, what will the cash flow of this property look like? Who will take out my financing? Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac can take out my financing there. Well, great. You know what? I may go up to 85% loan to cost because I know that by the time my IO loan is taken out in 2 years, that's going to be a 70% LTV. And they can underwrite in that way, and they can be more flexible than many banks can be. And that's often the best way to get higher leverage on these big value-added construction deals.
Gotcha. That's fascinating. Okay. So what type of financing do you guys not do? What's something you'd say, hey, look, that's just, we don't deal with that?
Nothing with single family homes. If you're looking for a fix and flip, if you're looking for a, you know, one unit or 1 to 4 units of residential, that's a different level of licensing. You can talk to a residential mortgage broker. So we don't touch that. There are probably some really niche product types. Like if you're trying to finance, you know, something so specialized, maybe we know somebody that does it, but you know, we're not going to be building instant quotes and automatically have 12 to 14 matching lenders. Anything within the 5 major food groups of commercial real estate, so multifamily, office, retail, industrial, and hotels, we know the lenders that are active in those spaces. And certainly for multifamily, retail, and office in particular, that's and a little bit increasing in industrial as well. Hotel financing is very hard right now while there's an ongoing pandemic. And, you know, we may just say if somebody's bringing in some distressed hotel, not only are we not able to arrange financing, but that's just not financeable right now. You may need to work that out in another way. No lender is going to come in and just, you know, kind of solve your problem. But again, we'll always take a look at something and let a client know, an investor know, is this something that we can help with?
Right, right. And so you had mentioned that the bulk of the loans you have closed were closed with banks and credit unions. So do you guys also have private lenders, you know, in your kind of back pocket, or is that something you guys have at this point, you know, don't have a need for?
Absolutely. So debt funds, private lenders, hard money. We don't close many hard money deals. Sure. I think in the hard money space, it's like a local hard money relationship, or even like some of these online portals that here's a list of 100 hard money lenders. They seem to be doing a better job of like, hey, somebody that's super distressed and needs a 12 to 14, 15% loan. That's not really our space. When we get into private lenders, it's, well, we know the private lenders that don't lend at 12%, they lend at 6.5%, higher than a bank rate, but much lower than a private, hard money lender. Right. What are they looking for? What are the metrics they're looking for in a deal? How do we describe the deal in a way that they are going to lend at 6.5% to 8% instead of that 12% to 14%? Right. So I would say if you're looking for that like last ditch resort of 12% to 14% and somebody that can close in 5 days, you probably can pick up the phone and call those people. If you're looking for a private lender that is in like the mid to high single digits and you've got a workable business plan and we can help you on that business plan for the asset, that's where we'll shine more than the hard money space.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And in the hard money space, I would imagine also is a lot more handholding. That's a lot more moving pieces that are not, you can't make that a system. That's a, oh no, the house is on fire.
Yeah, it's not clean. You do need to be careful in the hard money space too, because there are a lot of jokers and fakers in the hard money space. And maybe that's one value we can provide. Our list of what lenders not to work with may be as valuable as our list of lenders to work with, because that's something you learn with years in the business.
Right.
Hey, here are a couple of guys. Don't pay them a deposit and don't waste your next month.
Right. And loan to own people. So you got to watch out for those as well. I'm fascinated to hear, tell us about non-recourse. I mean, do you guys get into non-recourse loans? What does that look like on your platform?
So I love the name of the show about scaling. And non-recourse is one of these things that you need to understand when you want to scale your portfolio past a certain level. So when you're starting out with your first multifamily and commercial assets, the likelihood is you're going to have a full recourse loan. Right. It may be a good loan from a local banker that's going to treat you well, maybe have a decent interest rate, maybe a local credit union you already have a relationship with, but it's going to be full recourse. That does not necessarily come back to harm you if you've got a good deal and you make money. If that thing never defaults, you're not liable. But what recourse means is if it does default, your personal finances are a backstop for that lending. That is what recourse means. That does not happen in residential, but it can happen in commercial. Now, there's non-recourse financing available for commercial. And if you want to scale to a certain level, you have to understand that concept, because that means somebody will lend to you just on the strength of the asset without asking for your personal finances as a backstop, unless you do something wrong like fraud.
Right, sure.
There are carve-outs to non-recourse nature. The typical non-recourse lenders are government agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and HUD, the CMBS market, always non-recourse unless you do something wrong. So CMBS being commercial mortgage-backed securities, they happen through the big banks, but you typically need to talk to someone that knows how to talk to those big banks. You're not going to wander into a Wells Fargo. The CMBS people are not there.
Right.
Wells Fargo has a CMBS loan division. And if you know the right people to talk to describe a loan to that division, you may get the best interest-only interest rate over a 10-year period, and it'll be non-recourse. CMBS, certain life insurance companies that are looking for like great and usually larger assets, and certain debt funds, certain private lenders, not local hard money, but certain private lenders will be non-recourse as well. The reason for this is twofold. One is if something happens where you're giving back the asset because there was a downturn, this has happened to many hotels this year. There was a once in a 100-year event with this pandemic. Hotels bankrupt, you're giving back the asset. If you had non-recourse financing, unfortunately, you lost all your equity in the hotel.
Right.
But you didn't lose your shirt too.
Right.
Okay. So that's one reason to use non-recourse finance. And the second is because as you're trying to scale your portfolio on the next acquisition you make, the lender is going to look at your global debt to income ratio and everything happening in your portfolio and saying, how much cash do you have? How much net worth do you have? And where are you liable? And if those are non-recourse loans across your schedule of real estate owned, then your debt to income ratio is lower.
True.
And you are liable in less places, and you can make that next acquisition and you can take on more loans and you're not going to be gated in the same way. That's where non-recourse comes into play. It does not matter if you're trying to buy one or two assets that are comfortably within like the scope of your net worth and your liquidity. If you're trying to scale your portfolio, then you need to understand where and how to work with non-recourse financing.
Right, right. No, that's absolutely a great point. That's a great point. Tim, let's jump here into the final four. If you're to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice, you're giving it to somebody that's going out looking to finance their first major project, what would that one piece of advice be?
Partner up with someone that has more knowledge, at least to start.
Gotcha.
Probably forever.
Gotcha. And can you expand on that a little bit? Why is that?
Yeah, have an equity partner that's done something that you want to do. And if you don't have an equity partner that's done it, bring somebody into your team, either a capital advisor or some advisor, either give them a piece of the deal or let them take their fee and don't look too closely at, oh man, you're going to take the 1% fee. Get somebody invested in your success that's on your same side that has that knowledge.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I listen to podcasts, so keep it going with this podcast sphere for sure. And I try to read as many books as possible, not as many as I hope because I've got a couple of young babies at home. But next year, I'm going to be re-upping my, you know, I read one book a month this year, which was light. I'm going to up it to two books a month next year and hope to scale it up.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
We always give away 1% of our revenue top line to charity. And it's trying to support charities that are similar to the way we make money. We make money from multifamily and from industrial. So when we make money on multifamily, we're giving away 1% for housing initiatives like Habitat for Humanity. We always give away 1% to charity right off the top, not negotiable.
Man, that's awesome. Good for you. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Stacksource.com. They can email tim@stacksource.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn. Tim Milazzo. I'm usually the first person to show up if you type it in. If you're only listening, Milazzo is spelled M-I-L-A-Z-Z-O. Stacksource is like it sounds, stacksource.com.
Awesome. Tim, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Sam, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.